Hey, just a quick note, this episode of Politico Dispatch originally aired on May 8th of 2020. We'll be back on Monday with new episodes. All right, here's the show. Enjoy.
One of the things that really stands out looking at the pandemic is how clear and concise and specific the warnings from scientists and government officials have been for exactly this type of scenario for basically 25 or 35 years. And that got us thinking, like, what else out there are experts warning about right now that we are equally not paying attention to?
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch. And today, the other looming disasters.
The pandemic is a great example of the type of threat that human beings really misunderstand often fundamentally, which is low probability, high consequence events. Events that really in any given year stand a low chance of happening, but that when you begin to look at a period of decades or a half century, the chances of those events occurring go up dramatically. I'm Garrett Graff, and I'm a journalist and historian. When you talk to national security and intelligence officials, there were really two that stand out as near-term threats, things that we are almost certainly going to experience in the next couple of months or certainly within the next year. One of them is the globalization of white supremacy.
Back here in the U.S., anti-discrimination groups say the number of white supremacists has grown in recent years, as well as their online influence. Jeff Pagan.
National security officials are sounding very clear alarms about how they are seeing that ideology knit itself together in actually much the same way that we saw ISIS do in 2015, when it was able to inspire adherents around the world to carry out attacks in its name. The second major near-term threat is really the next phase of the evolution of disinformation and online cyber attacks, trying to undermine truth and trust in our key societies. You know, what you might think of as data manipulation attacks, that if 2016 was the story of disinformation, the 2020 election is likely going to see a flood of data manipulation. You could imagine an attack on the financial sector where an adversary, rather than stealing data in a data breach, actually gets inside a system and begins changing the data.
Okay, so those are what we could see in the near term. You're also writing that there's another set of potential threats, crises we could see in the next 5 or 10 years. What's one of those that stuck out to you?
One is something that brings down the power grid, which is one of the classic scenarios that emergency planners and national security officials worry about, and that we talk a lot about the cyber impact of that. You know, an adversary attempting to bring down our power grid. And actually, FEMA was supposed to be just next week doing a national level exercise responding to a Russian cyber attack on our power grid that they've actually now had to cancel amid the coronavirus. But what we often forget is that man-made threats to our power grid or other infrastructure like that aren't the only threat. You could see solar flares and space weather that could fry electronic systems down here on Earth as it comes out of the sun. I had one former intelligence official say to me that the challenge of our power grid is that it is the same as the ventilator problem that we are experiencing with the pandemic right now, which is this is complicated technology. There's not a lot of it on standby, and repairing it or replacing it would take months. And so if there's actual physical destruction of components of the power grid, you're not talking about something that's going to be back up and running in a matter of hours. It could be months or a year or more if actually there was a widespread damage.
The third and final category of threats you've looked at here are the ones that are ongoing, that are ever-present, like climate change or like earthquakes. From the research and conversations you've had with scientists, with national security officials, what surprised you about these potential crises that are always at our back doors?
In some ways, this is the most complicated area of threats, which, again, fall into these low probability, high consequence categories where we know with relative certainty there are going to be catastrophic level earthquakes that take place in the United States in the next 50 years.
Geologists are out with a very startling warning that Southern California is overdue for a major and possibly catastrophic earthquake. A new study says it's expected to hit along the San Andreas Fault north of Los Angeles. It could have a magnitude.
Normally for earthquakes, we think of Southern California, the San Andreas Fault. Really, there are four fault zones in the United States that really worry emergency planners. The Cascadia subduction zone off the coast of the Pacific Northwest, in some ways, is the worst natural disaster waiting to happen in the United States, that it would kill likely tens of thousands of people in Oregon and Washington State, unleash a massive tsunami that would hit the West Coast and displace hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of people. That's unlikely to be happening anytime soon, but it also could happen at some time soon. And then beyond that, there's a little known fault zone actually in the center of the country, right along the Mississippi River, known as the New Madrid Seismic Zone, which was responsible in 1811 and 1812 for the largest earthquake ever to hit the lower United States, a series of three earthquakes right around 8.0 magnitude on the Richter scale, a massive earthquake. And when I was talking to officials at DHS, they said that in some ways that is the disaster that they most worry about, because what has made the COVID pandemic so challenging has been the breadth of that as a disaster. It's the first time you've ever seen all 50 states have emergency declarations at the same time for the same disaster. And that the New Madrid seismic zone, if and when it happens, would strike the center of the country, a large protein production area, a large agriculture production area. You think of all of the goods that are transported up and down the Mississippi River, the tractor trailers that we rely on to transit the country, and that all of that would be made vulnerable by an earthquake, the New Madrid zone. Actually, last year in 2019, FEMA conducted a large regional exercise called Shake and Fury looking at that. And some of the places realized that they couldn't even participate in the exercise because the idea of an earthquake that large would so overwhelm them that they couldn't even learn any lessons from the exercise, that they would just be so swamped in their response.
So right now, we are in the middle of one of these crisis situations, not one of the threats you've talked about, but a global pandemic. I mean, do you think responding to the coronavirus could help us learn to respond to one of these other threats?
Not really. In many ways, I think people actually are less sure now that we would come out okay from one of these other threats. It gives you very little confidence in our ability to manage any other disaster of similar scale or larger scale in the near future.
I guess all we can do now is go to our rooms, blast some REM, End of the World, and scream into a pillow.
And buy more toilet paper.
Garrett Graff, thanks so much for talking with me.
My pleasure.